Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We are four lines from the top of the words, Mai Miduv Leles. So we just mentioned that the Mishnah told us that a sukkah that's Mivdu Leles is going to be kosher. So now the Gemara is wondering, what is this Lashon of Mivdu Leles? What is it? So the Gemara asks, Amar Rav, the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, it's sukkah aniya. It means like a poor sukkah, meaning that, according to Rashi, that it's covered with a thin layer of schach, and therefore there's going to be many gaps between it. And obviously you don't have a gap which is more than 3 tefachim wide, Rashi points out, because if you do, that's a major issue of potentially being possible, as we saw on the Gemara Yod Zayin. So it's not discussing we have more than 3 gaps, but there's a lot of different holes in your sukkah. And the chiddush over here is that there's more shade than sunlight, so it's going to be kasher. Shmuel amar kana ole vekana yored, and Shmuel says no differently. The Mishnah specifically referring to a case that if you have one of the reeds is like a bamboo stick, is one of them is below and one of them is above. So the chiddush over here is that you're not on the same level. They're not on the same level. One is on a higher level, one's on a lower level, yet it's still going to be kosher. And even though, as Rashi points out, that even though over here the sukkah has more sun than shade coming in. However, we're viewing it that the fact that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that since the sukkah would have more shade than sunlight if they were on the same level, we're viewing it as if they're on the same level and it's more shade than sunlight and it's going to be kosher even though physically they might not in this case. That's what Shmuel is saying. Now the Gemara is going to elaborate on the Machlokas. The Gemara says, Rav Tanechadet. According to Rav, the first part of the Mishnah is only describing the whole Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is only talking about one case. And Shmuel Tanetarte, whereas Shmuel is saying that this is referencing to two cases. So is the case of when the Mishnah says sukkah mevdulelas v'shitzilasam ruba chamasa, is shitzilasam ruba chamasa coming to modify the first case, or is it a totally separate case? According to Rav, it's modifying the first case, whereas Shmuel is saying that it's really two cases. And the Gemara fleshes this out. Rav Tanechada, Rav says that this is talking about one case because sukkah mevdulelas, that a sukkah that is mevdulelas, my mevdulelas, what is a case of, first of all, what does it mean that it's mevdulelas? Mevdulelas means mevduldelas. Mevduldelas means like someone who's poor, dal, person who's dal is very poor. So this is referring to like a poor sukkah. As we mentioned, it has a lot of gaps and it has a lot of holes, nothing more than 3 tefachim, but it has that. And it's shilasam ruba chamasa, share that if it has more, because it has more shade than sunlight, even though it doesn't look good, it's still going to be kasher. So that's the case that the Mishnah is telling us, that again, a sukkah that's mudulalas, which has more shade than sunlight, is going to be kasher, and it's modifying the first case. And Shmuel says, the Tanya Tarta, Shmuel says we're really touching two different cases, because my miduv leles, not like Rav wanted to say miduv leles is miduv delas, let alone dal being poor. According to Shmuel, miduv leles means mivul belas. Mivul belas means confused. It means something that's bilbul, mixed up. So here it means that it's uneven according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel means that the cases where it's talking about the two reeds, one above and one below, that's uneven. That's the case of mivdulelas, lashon of mivulbal, that it's lashon of uneven. But Tartik Tani, the Mishnah is teaching you two different halachas. The first is sukkah mivulbalas kshir. The first one is you have a sukkah which is uneven. It's going to be kasher. And tzilasa miruba mechamasa is also going to be kshir, that if you have more shade than sunlight, then it's also that sukkah is going to be kosher. So Shmuel is teaching us two different cases in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to further explain Shmuel. Amar Abaye comes to qualify Shmuel, and he says, "Lo shanu ela she'in bein lazet lazet shlosha tefachim." The Mishnah, which says that it's the sukkah meduv lelas is going to be kosher, is only when there are less than three tefachim between these two levels. That between level one, and level two, you have less than 3 tefachim, then your sukkah is going to be kosher. However, says Abaye, "Aval yesh bein lazet lazet shlosha tefachim." If you have more than 3 tefachim between the lower reed and the upper reeds, then psula, then the sukkah is going to be pasul, it's going to be invalid, because you can't view them as being joined together, and therefore it's going to have more sunlight coming in the shade, and you don't have this concept where the two are considered one. It's not because there's one level of schach, and therefore according to Abaye, it's going to be pasul. And that is the shita of Abaye. However, Rava is coming to disagree. Rava says, "Amar Rava." Rava says, well, he's not necessarily coming to disagree. Rava could come to be modifying Abaye, because he doesn't necessarily have to disagree, but it could be Lechora, we could go like that. The Rava is not necessarily disagreeing with Abaye, is just coming to modify what Abaye said. Even though Abaye, you just said that when there's more than between the two levels, there's more than 3 tefachim, that's going to be a major issue. That's only when lo amran ela she'ein begago tefach. That's only going to be the case where the upper level is not a tefach wide. If the upper level has the width of a tefach, layish begago tefach, if the upper level has a tefach, tefach wide, then it's going to be kshera. That no matter how far the two are apart from each other, even if they're more than two tefachim, even if they're 5 feet away from it or 10 feet away from each other, they're going to be kasher, damrin and chavot rami. Because we're going to say we're introducing a new principle here. Chavot literally is lowering and rami is to throw. So what is this principle? This is halacha lano shem Sinai, that we view the upper part as going down. That we view that the when the covering is directly above an open gap, we view that covering, no matter how high it is, as viewing lowered and going down. This is very similar to the concept that we should be familiar with of good aches mechitzta. Good aches mechitzta is where you're extending the wall, the mechitzta lower, and it's telling that the edge of a flat roof is going to be extended downward. So much so that what's the difference between the two? So the difference between good aches mechitzta is that we're only viewing the edge going down. For the mechitzta purposes, we're viewing it as it's part of a mechitzta, that we have something that's a tapach, it also needs to be tapach thick when it comes to good aches mechitzta, that when that thing is going downward, that is referring to good aches mechitzta. However, when it comes to chavot rami, we're assuming that we're lowering the entire roof to seal a gap. We're lowering the roof to seal an entire area. That is the concept of chavot rami. And Rava is telling us that when the covering is at least a tefach, then you can assume that you have a valid schach, even though they're very far apart from each other. According to Rashi, the covering needs to be tefach wide, but the gap that it's sealing can be narrower than a tefach wide. That's what Rashi holds, or the Ran disagrees. The Ran holds that the gap also needs to be a tefach wide. That's the machlokas between Ran and Rashi. Other Rishonim understand that chavot can't be applied where the covering is wider than the gap. Even if both are wider than a tefach, if the covering is wider than the gap, then you would have a major issue according to other Achronim. That's the basic principle of chavot rami. So now Rava wants to bring a proof again. Rava, what was clear in the Gemara though is Rava is saying that you need to have a tefach from the actual board itself. If that board that you're using, that the reed that you're using is a tefach wide, then you apply the concept of chavot rami. If you have less than a tefach, you don't say chavot rami. Then you would agree to Abaye's ruling where it needs to be within three tefachim of each other, and we'll say lavud. But if you don't have that, then it's going to be pasul. But if it's the chiddush is that if it's a tefach wide, then according to Rava, it's going to be kshira. So says the Gemara, I'm a Rava. Rava says, where am I going to bring this proof? I mean, aminala, where can I bring you a proof? That where something is the width of a tefach, we would say that we're lowering it and assuming that we lower that reed and assume that they're on the same level. And where you don't have this, you would not say the concept of chavot rami, of lowering and bringing down your schach. This not because we learned this mission. This mission is not referring to Mesechta Sukkah. This is referring to Oel. We mentioned, we've compared a Mesechta Oelos a few times already to Hilchos Sukkah, because the Sukkah in many ways is similar to an Oel. So this halacha also is very important in halacha from Mishnah in Oelos. This not, we learn in the Mishnah in Oelos. Koros Abayis Ve'aliyah. If you have beams on the ground for here also, if you have pictures, it would be it'd be helpful to look at your pictures over here just to see. We're talking about over here, if you have a two-story house, and of course the Bais Ve'aliyah, if you have beams on the ground floor and beams on the upper story of your house. Sheina Le'maziva, so you don't have any plaster on them. Behen Mechuvanos, and the two layers of the beams are lined exactly one above the other. So you're talking about an unfinished house. You have a space in between each of these beams, and the two sets of beams that you've made are parallel to each other. They're exactly one below the other, and therefore they're exactly they're going to be exactly positioned, exact same corresponding to each other, and therefore one is below the other. So now, this first halacha of the Mishnah tells us that tuma tachas achas behem. So now, if you have tuma under one of the lower beams, tachtea tame. So then, any kli that's under the same beam or beneath that beam is going to be tame, because we know something that's in ohel is able to transmit tuma. That's, we've seen that before a few times already in Masechta Sukkah, that something that's a tefach thick can transmit tuma. So anything below that board, even if it's 3 feet away, but it's on the same under the same area of that tefach, so that would also, that item, that kli, would also become tame. And just like we mentioned, that something that's a tefach thick is also going to be create a tuma. What's below, it's going to be a kula for what's above, because what's above, it's chotis b'fnei tuma. It'll be a chatzitz, it'll be a barrier between that what's above it. So if you have something directly above that one tefach board, is going to, that thing above it would not become tame, because the board itself would protect from the tuma. So that's the din over here. Only what's below is going to become tame. Now, if the tuma is between the lower beam and the upper beam, beinayam tame, so a utensil that's between them on the same board is going to become tame. But similarly, things that are below it and things that are above it would remain tahor, because you have a tefach thick beam on both ends. protecting it, even if it's directly below it, but you have this beam that's below it and the beam that's above it, so only what's on the same beam, on the same level, is going to become tame. Al galbe al yona, but what if the tumah is on the top level of this beam? So then, kinegda adar akia tame, utensil that is directly opposite the tumah, only above it, is going to become tame, because here you have no oil over here, nothing's above it. So you anything, only what's directly above it, that's the regular din of tumah. If you have a regular tumah of tumah that's outside, there's no oil above it, so only what's from you, from the tame thing, all the way up to Shemaim, that's going to become tame, nothing else would become tame. That is the first din of the Mishnah. This is important, but that's not what Rava is bringing the Raya. Rava is bringing the Raya from the next part of the Mishnah and the Braisa that's going to follow, that's going to modify the Mishnah. Hayu al yonos kibena tachtonos. If the upper ones are corresponding to between two and lower ones, so here, they're not exactly the same. Here, there's two sets of beams, and the two sets of beams are running the same direction, but in this case, the upper beams are in between each one. So they're in between each one, and therefore you're going to have tumah tachtem if there is tumah under any one of them. If they're under any one of the lower levels, so then tachas kulan tameh, that anything that's beneath any of them is going to become tameh, because we are assuming this, because we're applying the principle of chavut. The chavut of chavut tells us that we are able to fill the gaps with, so this would be a chumra over here, because you're creating an ohel under anything that's below the first level of beams. Anything that's below the first level of beams, so then you've created an ohel through the concept of chavut, even though the upper beams are open, but if you go to the second level, they're going to be closed off by the second level of beams. Then we say chavut, that we view them as if they're under the same level, and anything under that lower level is going to become tame, because you have an ol now between anything on that lower level. Tachas kulam tame. So al gabeim, what if the tumah is on top of the first level? So then kineged another akia tame. The only kli that's opposite the tumah of them is going to be tame, but that which is in between them. That which is in between them is going to, because you don't have any oil blocking that. We're talking about on the top level. If it's above the top level, then you have nothing blocking it. But if it's under the middle level, then also you're going to say chavut to view it as if it's closed off on the middle level as well, and it would become tame. So now, the Rava is now bringing us proof from the Braisa, which is going to explain the second half of this Mishnah. V'tani Allah, the Braisa says, regarding this Mishnah, B'memet, the Ramurim, from when do we say that this halacha of the Mishnah applies? Bizman sheyesh behen tefach, when the lower beams have a width of a tefach. If they have a width of a tefach, poseach tefach, and in between them, between each layer of the lower beams, there is a space of a tefach. Really, actually, the first halacha, though, can be modified. That Braisa, actually, bizman sheyesh behen tefach, applies to the first case of the Mishnah as well. Mishnah in the first case, again, we're talking about where the lower beams and the upper beams directly above each other, that everyone agrees also is only going to create a tumah where you have a tefach that we saw. An ohel is only created by a tefach. So that halacha is mashia tefach is going on the first ruling of the Mishnah as well. However, the second ruling of the Mishnah, v'nei bosef tefach, between the lower beams and the space, that is only going on the second case, because we're telling you that when the gaps and the upper beams are corresponding to them are tefach wide, does Mishnah's principle of chavut apply? So the Mishnah is pretty clearly telling us that we only apply chavut when you have a tefach wide of space, or a tefach wide, at least the beam for sure has to be, that's machal d'shem, the space has to be tefach, but the beam itself clearly had to be a tefach. Aval ein b'nei ha-paseach tefach, but if there is no space of a tefach between the upper beams and the lower beams, then tuma tachas mehen, then if there is tuma under one of them, under one of these tefach wide lower beams, tachtei on tamen, that is below them is going to become tame, because the lower beam, which is a tefach wide, is an oel. We're talking about the lower beam was a tefach wide. So if below the lower beam, whatever is directly under that beam is going to be tame. However, the tumor were beneath the upper beam, it would not spread to the entire area beneath it, nor would it be blocked from what's above it, since the beam is not tefach. That's what the chiddush of the second half of the Braisa is telling you, based on the second part of the Mishnah. So the again, tuma tachas echad tachtei atamen b'neinan v'algamein tar, but between them or above them is going to remain tar. The rest of the house, except the area beneath that one area, is not going to be an issue, because we don't apply the issue of chavut to create the, we don't apply chavut over here to create the actual ohel, and therefore you don't have an ohel spreading to the entire house. So now Rava is going to bring a proof from this Braisa. So it says, Gemara Alma, we see from the Mishnah and the qualification of the Braisa, ki is be tefach, when the covering has a tefach wide, amin al chavut rami. Then we could apply this halacha of lowering the upper beams and view them as on the same level and throw them down literally. V'chi leis be tefach, however, when you don't have this concept of a tefach, lo amin al chavut rami. We don't say the concept, principle of lowering the upper beam and bringing it down. Shema mina. So this is actually a good proof that we learn from here that chavut rami applies only to a covering that's a tefach wide and not less. Rava seemed to be a very good proof from this Mishnah in Oelos. We accept Rava's proof. So then Gemara says, Yosef Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was sitting and Rav Kahana v'kamarle l'hai shmeite. Rav Kahana was sitting and teaching this teaching of Rav and Shir. Amarle Rav Asher. Rav Asher apparently was listening to Shir. Rav Kahana. Rav Asher said to Rav Kahana, v'chol hecha deleis pei tefach. It's really true where a covering doesn't have a tefach. Why? Lo amin and chavut rami. We don't apply the principle of chavut rami. So now Rashi just points out, but wait a second. Not Rashi. The Rishon, other Rishon, Rabbeinu Chanan on the Ritva just point out that the Rav had a great proof. Rav's proof was from the Braisa, and the Braisa said explicitly, you need a Bosech Tefach, you need a Tefach over here to create Chavud Rami. So he has to agree with that proof, that with regards to Olos and Tuma Vitara, that he agrees that it has to be a Tefach. He is arguing that maybe in other halachas, like we're about to mention, halachas Mavoy over here, the halachas of Mavoy, maybe there we wouldn't say the concept of Chavud Rami, or maybe we would say the concept of Chavud Rami, even if it's less than a tefach. That's what he's saying. So the Gemara says, V'hatana, as we learn in a Braisa, this Braisa we just mentioned is a reference to a Braisa in Ervin, where you have Kora Yotze Mikotazeh. So we are talking about a Mavoy. We mentioned Mavoy a lot of times in Sefer Tzukot. We mentioned it again. A Mavoy is is enclosed on an area, a courtyard that's enclosed on three sides. However, it is open on one side to Rosh Hashanah. And Chazar are afraid that if you let someone is carrying there, Domei Rosh Hashanah, people will then carry in a full-fledged public domain. So in order to avoid the issue of a Mavoy, so you have to have a Heker. You have to have either a Lechi or a Korah. You have to have a Lechi or a Korah in order to carry there. If you have a Lechi, which is a side post, or a Korah, which is a crossbeam, and also you do Shitva and Mavos, you have people together, coming together, and making your Shosa Yachid by combining with a Challah, Matzah coming together, and they all have a share in it, then that would allow you to carry. So here we're talking about the parameters of a korah, more a korah, that usually we talk about leches more than a korah. Here we're talking about a korah. Korah is the crossbeam. So it says the Braisa, if you have a korah, yotze mikosel zeh, if you have a korah that's going from one wall of a mavoy and it goes extending across the entranceway, it has to go, normally a korah has to go from one end of the mavoy, one end of the mavoy to the other end. It has to go all the way across. So ve'eno nogas bekosel, but it doesn't reach the opposite wall, doesn't reach the opposite end of the mavoy. Ve'chein shtei koros, and similarly, if you case of two korahs, achas yotze mikosel zeh v'achas yotze mikosel zeh, where one korah is going from this wall and the other one is going from the opposite wall, ve'ina noga zubazu, and they do not touch each other, so they have a gap in between. So then the halacha is going to be pachas bishlosha. In the first case, when the korah of the crossbeam is going to the other side of the wall, it's within three tefachim of the other wall, then we can view it as if it's closed in, and therefore we view it as if the korah, the crossbeam, is going all the way across, and it's fine. Ina tarech leve korachar. And similarly, when there are with two korahs that aren't reaching each other within three tefachim, that is going to also create lavud and assume that it's one crossbeam all the way across, and it's fine. So that's the first case. The Mishnah Shlosha, however, if you have three tefachim or more, then you don't have lavud anymore. Tzarech lavi korah charis. You need to bring another korah, since the existing korah is pasul. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, turning God to the next element, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says that the din of lavud is actually up till four tefachim. He says arba bechal pachos me'arba. He holds that lavud is up until four tefachim. You have three tefachim until four tefachim, so in a tzarech lavi korah charis, you don't need to bring another korah. However, arba, if the gap is four tefachim or more, tzarech lavi korah charis, then you would need to bring another korah, since the existing korah is pasul. So it says the Braisa, v'chein shtei koros hamas imos. The Braisa continues and says, it's also if you put two korahs that are the same size over a mavoy, and these korahs are lo bezek kedabal kebareach, lo bezek kedabal kebareach. These two korahs are narrow, and they don't have enough to support half a brick. This one doesn't have enough to support half a brick. Half a brick is based on the Gemara and Erevin, your Gimel and Beis and Rashi. That means it has to be a tefach. So if you have each one is less than a tefach, so you have these two beams that you have, and each one is less than a tefach. If together you put them close enough that they can be mekabel a tefach, when you put them close enough together, enter chavi korah charis. You don't need to bring another korah, because this double korah is going to be kosher. According to Rashi, these two korahs are only going to be able to combine if they're actually touching. If there's a gap between them, even if the gap is less than three tefachim, which we normally apply lava to, the Tanakama would hold that it's still pasul. V'im lav, however, if they are not able to, if they do not equal tefach together, tzarech lavi korah charis, then you need to bring another korah to be machshir the mavoy, to allow you to carry within the mavoy. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, im mikablos ariach la'arko shlosha tefachim. If these two korahs combined, whose combined width is less than a tefach, can support half a brick which measures three tefachim, enter chavik korach charis. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's giving a kula over here, and he's saying that even when the combined width of the narrow korahs is less than a tefach, they can still be used to a machshir of the mavoy if they are spread apart until this area, somewhat less than three tefachim, is going to be kosher. So he's allowing you to apply the halacha of lavud. So according to Rashi, assuming that that's the machlokas between Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhan. However, if they cannot support the weight of half a brick, then it's you would need to bring another korah with how to be machshir the mavoi. Okay, so now the brisa continues to another case. If the two korahs were placed one higher and one lower, so this is why Rav Ashi is bringing the proof. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah, Omer Rowan Eliyono Kiilu Hilamata. We view the upper one as if it's below, and we view the lower one as if it's above, meaning that they're on the same level, and therefore they would combine to create a kasher korah. And if that's the case, so then Lechora, we're applying the concept of chavud. That's provided that the upper korah can't be more than 20 amos above the ground. As we know, a mavoi which is above 20 amos, the first mission Erevin told us is possible. And the same thing, and the lower one that's less than 10 tefachim above the ground is also going to be possible. So if they're both within the same shear, Lechora, Rabbi Yossi reviewed is applying the lach of chavud. So now Rav Ashi is going to flesh out this point. Ha, zev zev besoch eshim. The implication is that if you have this korah, which is within 20 amos, which is the and obviously above 10 tefachim, where they're both in the kasher shir, so armin and chavot rami, we would apply the halacha of lowering and throwing down. Literally, that we would apply that the two korahs, the two crossbeams, one from the other, are going to be lowered and to viewed as the same level and be machshir you to carry in your mavoi. And each one is less than a tefach, so we're applying chavut rami to a situation that's less than a tefach. Alpha gabdeleis be tefach. In this case, they don't have a width of a tefach. Rabbi Yosef Rehuda is telling us that we're able to apply the chavut rami in this circumstance, and they're less than a tefach wide. So seemingly, this is a problem with Rava, who said that we only apply chavut rami in all cases, only when something is a tefach wide. So Rav Kahana comes to answer for Rava. Amar Lei, Rav Kahana says to Rav Ashi, Taritz ve'im ha'afti. You could answer that according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that we could explain that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying the following: Vachol te'el yona l'mal ha'esrim, provided that the upper one is not higher than 20 amos. El betoch esrim v'hatachtona smuchala b'pachos mishlosha. He's coming to modify it with a very more another halach of here. Within 20 amos, also it's within 3 tefachim. Nothing to do with chavut rami. We're applying the halach of lavud, that if each one is half an amah, half a tefach here, and this one is half a tefach, and they're within 3 tefachim of each other, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we can apply lavud to tell you that it's kasher. We saw that would be similar to Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, that if they are within 3 tefachim of each other, that would be kosher. Or else, provided that the lower beam is not lower than 10 tefachim, and the above one is above 10 tefachim, again, because you need a minimum shear. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this case is only going to be when the upper one is within 20 and the other one is above 10. He's also saying that it has to be within 3 tefachim of each other, and therefore you have to have a lover. Nothing to do with chavut rami. Aval shlosha, but if the upper and lower korahs are more than 3 tefachim apart from each other, came on the leis b'tefach, since the upper beams don't have a width of a tefach, lo amrinan chavut rami. We will not say the concept of bringing down the upper reeds and in this case the upper korah and lowering it to assume that they're the same shear because they're not of a tefach wide, and this is consistent with Rava, and therefore the Braisa is totally fine with Rava's shita. You have to add in that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with chavut rami, rather with the principle of lavud, and Rav Ashi has now his seeming proof from the Braisa has now been rejected. Now the Mishnah says, if you have more shade than sunlight, then your sukkah is going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, what's the implication from this Mishnah? It seems to imply, but that seems to imply that if the shade and the sunlight are equal to one another, the sukkah is going to be pasul. That's what our Mishnah seems to imply, that it's going to be pasul. However, in the very first Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, in the other chapter, literally, that's what the Gemara is asking. That in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, Shechamasa Meruba Metzilasa Psula, if you have more sunlight than shade, it's going to be invalid. What does that imply? Hakia Darek Shera, that when the sunlight is going to be the same as the shade, the sunlight and the shade are exactly the same, the implication of the Mishnah, that it's kosher. So seemingly, which is it? When you have exactly the amount of shade and sunlight, which is it? Our Mishnah implies that it's possible. The Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph implies that it's kosher. So which is it? So the Gemara answer is lo kasha. No, there's no problem with the two Mishnayos. How are we going to answer it? Kan milamala. Our Mishnah, which implies that the sukkah with equal amounts of shade and sunlight is puzzle, is referencing to the shade and the sunlight that's coming from above at the level of the sach. We're analyzing it from the level of sach. When our Mishnah is saying that the sukkah is going to be kosher only if you have more shade than sunlight, it's referring to the thickness of the sach itself. and the thickness of the schach itself, the solid part of the schach, which is covering a large surface area more than the area of the gaps. So the implication is telling us that the solid part of the schach is equal to that of the gaps. The sukkah is going to be possible because then more sunlight is going to be coming in from the source than the chain, and therefore that's why the sukkah is going to be possible. However, kan milamata, when you're analyzing it from the floor of the sukkah, when you're analyzing it from the floor of the sukkah, the Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph, which is applying that it's going to be kosher, that's analyzing it from the floor of the sukkah. When you're analyzing it from the floor of the sukkah, as Rashi points out, then the implication is that the floor of the sukkah has equal amounts of sunlight and shade, the sukkah is going to be kosher. And the reason is that that one could be sure that the schach above is more than the solid open area, because when you're looking at it from the area below with the floor of the sukkah, the sunlight is spreading it as it moves from the source. The equal amount of sunlight and the shade is open on the floor is indicating that there really is more schach. So really, the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph is implying that there's more schach than open area, as opposed the Armish is implying that it would be more open area than schach. So that's what really you have to have a drop more schach than open area. When you have a drop more schach than open area, that's the notion of Daf Beis Amud Aleph is telling you that's when it's going to be kosher. And now Rav Papa just wanted to remark, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said on this, Armish, this is similar to what people say, that when the light coming from an area is more than the source, Kizuzah mila'el, the size of a zuz above, kisasa mila'mata is the size of an isarta below. That the sunlight that shines through a hole on top through this is the size of a zuz, which is a small coin, will spread to the size of an isarta, which is a larger coin, on the floor below. That's what's telling over here, that's corresponding, that the isarta is below, is the bigger area, and that's what people are saying when it comes to this, when you're analyzing it from the floor area, as opposed to analyzing it from above the sukkah. Now we're analyzing the last mission of the last ruling of the Mishnah. The last ruling of the Mishnah told us, mu'uba kamin bayis. If you have a sukkah that's thickly covered like a house, even though you can't see the stars, it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, Hamu'uba kamin bayis, a sukkah that is covered thickly like a house, Afa pi she'ena kokavim nir misocha, even though you can't see the stars above, Kshira, the sukkah is going to be kosher. Ein kokav v'chama nir misocha, however, if the rays of the sun can't be seen from inside the sukkah, then Beis Shammai posim. Beis Shammai said that that's puzzle. Beis Shammai said that the sukkah is such thick schach is going to be like a house, and therefore it's going to be puzzle. And Beis Hillel Machshir and Beis Hillel, even this case is going to be kosher. So our Mishnah would said that even though you can't see the stars, the Lechora is also going to the opinion of Beis Hillel, that's telling you that even if you have the sun rays that you can't see, that's also going to be kosher. The Rush quotes the Yerushalmi that says that it's medayik from the lashon of the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Afal pishin kol kamini, even though you can't see the stars. What does it mean, even though I can't see the stars? It implies that I should be able to see the stars. So the Rush quotes from the Yerushalmi that lechachila, that initially one building a sukkah, you should make it that you should be able to see the stars. You should be able to see the stars from above, and that's what the Yerushalmi holds, and that you should be able to see them. So that's a shaila in their corner. So those who discusses this, Mishnah Berurah discusses this, seemingly, we are machmir lechachila, that a person should be able to see the stars when building his schach, that you should be able to see the stars when you're building a schach. And some go further, that Rabbeinu Thomas quoted, Rabbeinu Thomas says, quoted by the Rush, that if you can't have no rain is able to come into your sukkah whatsoever, then it's totally possible. As machlokas achorim, whether Rabbeinu Tam meant it's possible even mita or right, or maybe only b'derabanan, but that's for sure that. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's possible when a person has no water coming in. So basically, halacha, a person should build his sukkah where he's able to see the stars above. Again, if you can't see because it's darker or cloudy, it doesn't mean that, but it means that it's you have enough holes that you should be able to see the stars. That's lechachila. And in a situation where no rain could come in, that's a major shaila whether a person should even be yotze. So obviously, don't make it so thick where you can have you're going to have an issue where you're going to have more not even have rain coming in. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. If someone is making a sukkah on top of a wagon, now making on top of a wagon is clearly something that's very temporary. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that you're making it in a very temporary situation. Oh, Barosh HaSfina, or you're making it on top of the ship, which Rashi points out. So on the major top of the ship, where if you have high winds, it's going to fall down. Still, it's going to be kshera because according to this Tana, it's the whole sukkah is a diras harai, and that's the chiddush over here that it is going to be a diras harai, and it's still going to be kosher. But only la biyomtov, you're allowed to go on this anyantov. What's the chiddush? You're allowed to walk on the sukkah on top of a wagon or on Rosh HaSfina? That's pasha, you're allowed to walk on it. That's only because of the seifa. The hemshech of the Mishnah, which tells you, Berosha Ilan, if it's on top of a tree, we know a tree is mukta on Shabbos or Yontov to use or to touch, because we're afraid a person is going to come and detach a tree branch from it, which is going to be an Isra D'Oraisa, so therefore Chazal made a gzira that trees are mukta on Shabbos. And the same thing with the Gabay Gama on the back of a camel. Now, animals in general are also mukta on Shabbos, because we're afraid a person, when riding these animals, is going to come to detach a branch as well. So animals are mukta, as a major shiloh by dogs. Petting a dog on Shabbos is a major issue. It's mukta. Dogs are mukta on Shabbos. So, So that's what the Mishnah is telling us over here. So it is kosher, meaning the sukkah itself is kosher. However, you're not allowed to go on it on Yantiv. Rather, you should only use it during Chol HaMoed. What if I did go on it on Yantiv? So Rashi says, you still fulfill your obligation of sukkah. The Achronim, I think the Prima Gadim, other Achronim are bothered by this Rashi. What do you mean? It's mitzvah ba'bavira. This is classic mitzvah ba'bavira. The only way which you could get to your sukkah is by walking up, is by going up your tree, climbing up the tree, which is a mukta. So you can't be on that, you can't go on that sukkah on Shabbos, so how, or Yantiv. So if I go on Chol HaMoed Shabbos or on Yantiv, so I've violated this din d'rabban, and the only way I could make a mitzvah is through doing an avera. So l'chor, this is mitzvah ba'be avera. So I saw Achronim bring down that no, you can make a chiluk for Rashi, a classic chefza gavra chiluk in the halachas of mitzvah ba'be avera. When does mitzvah ba'be avera apply? Mitzvah ba'be avera applies when a person has done with the chefza itself is problematic, like lulav gazel. We're gonna get that lulav gazel, famous lulav gazel, stolen lulav. You're not yotze. Matzah gzula. You're not yotze. So what about that case is if you do it, you're not yotze the mitzvah whatsoever. Now what about if a person tears kriya rachman latzlan on Shabbos? Person heard that one of Zion Kroven was mace, and he tears kriya on Shabbos. So you violate an issur d'oraisa of kriya, yet the Gemara tells you that you're yotze your mitzvah of kriya. You don't have to do kriya again after Shabbos. Why not? So that's what the Achronim bring down, because the chefetz itself, the kriya itself, was fine. You violated an issur d'oraisa. The same thing, the sukkah here is totally kosher. There's circumstances surrounding the sukkah which you are not allowed to go onto the sukkah. That's an issur on you. That's not mitzvah ba'avera. So l'chor, you've done an avera, you're going to get punished for doing avera on Shabbos of doing muktzah, but you're still makai in the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. Okay, that's what the Mishnah tells you, that you don't go on yantiv. It's kshira, and Rashi says you're even yotzei your mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah if you violated in d'rabbanan. Shtayim be'ilam v'achas b'de'ah. I'm not getting into the nitty gritty. If you have two walls of a sukkah in a tree and one is man made. So then, Oshtayim b'de Adam v'achas b'ilan. If two are man-made and one is on a tree, k'shira v'enolam b'yantiv. These two cases, you're relying on the tree itself. So therefore, the tree itself, it's mukta, it's on mukta things, and you're relying on the tree, it's going to be mukta. Shoshu b'yantiv, and you can't go on it on Shabbos yantiv. Shoshu b'yantiv v'achas b'ilan. However, if three walls of sukkah are man-made and a tree, and only one is from the ilan, you don't even need the support of the ilan really whatsoever. So then, k'shira v'enolam b'yantiv. It's going to be kasher, and you're allowed to go on yantiv. And now the Mishnah ends off that klal kol shnitzel ilan. In any case where the tree would be removed, the sukkah could stand without the tree support. The sukkah is going to be valid and be able to go up. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara of Mani Masnisin in tomorrow's daf.